This morning, we're in our Six Hot Weekends series here at Celebration Church, and kind of the theme off of that is these are the hottest weekends temperature-wise in Jacksonville this time of year, so we're hoping that there are going to be some really hot weekends spiritually as well, and we're going to get into God's Word, and I'm just trying to pull out a few things that I think will really help renew and just kind of get us hot for God, get us on fire for God, and I want to talk to you today about amazing grace. Everybody say amazing grace. How many of you are familiar with that classic Christian hymn, Amazing Grace? Isn't that an awesome song? You know, at our 8:30 service that we just started, it's kind of more of a traditional flow in the aspect of we redo a lot of the old hymns. And I believe we did How Great Thou Art, or Great Is Thy Faithfulness, one of them this morning. And we're looking forward to doing Amazing Grace as well. But those songs have a lot of substance in them. And it's so good, it's important that we take the substance of those songs and we translate the substance, the message of those songs to the next generation. And that song, you know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see. It's a beautiful, beautiful song about encountering the love of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. And really today, kind of in our modern Christian vocabulary and in our modern culture, I believe that that word grace has lost a lot of its power, has lost a lot of its Come on, everybody say that. Just say, I'm going to say that. It's lost a lot of the because grace is a very powerful word. No, okay. Okay, I'll stop. Some of you are like, okay, you made your point. All right, let's move on. But anyway, it's a very powerful word. You know, today we kind of use it for everything. There's a lot of churches called Grace Church, and that's great. That's a great name for a church, but it's just real common. You know, we give grace, we say grace, you know, it's kind of grace, grace. And it just, to a lot of people, grace just kind of means, you know, okay, kind of nice, you know, just, you know, nice or kind of mercy, kind of love. You kind of associate it in that set of words, but grace is so much more than that. And grace is not just a part of our Christian walk. I want to let you know it is the foundation of our walk with God and our relationship with Jesus. And it is amazing. Our gospel is a gospel of grace. The word gospel means the good news. The good news is this, is that God loves you no matter what. Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins. God blesses you, not because you are good, but because He is good. Okay? And God loves you no matter what. You can't earn your way to God. You can't work your way to God, anything. Jesus did it all. God blesses you not because of what you do. God blesses you because of what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. And it's an awesome, awesome concept. And it's the foundation of our walk with God. But unfortunately, many of us, in our relationship with God, and a lot of times it comes because, you know, we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, and a lot of times if you don't have a proper understanding and a proper foundation of the New Covenant, now the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's all the Word of God, it's all the inerrant Word of God, but the Old Testament contains the Old Covenant. That is no longer a valid covenant. The Bible says Jesus came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the old covenant in that He perfectly obeyed God 100% in every motive, thought, and action. Come on, how many of you know Jesus is awesome? Perfectly obeyed God. And because Jesus perfectly obeyed God, He was perfect. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God. And so now it's so important that we live in the new covenant, okay? God doesn't punish us because of our sins any longer. Did you know this? God, when you come to Jesus Christ, did you know that God, He can't, this is why the Bible says, God says, I'll remove their sins as far as the east is from the west. I will remember their sins no more. Why? God cannot be angry with you in the new covenant. God cannot remember your sins anymore in the new covenant. You know why? Because all of God's anger and all of God's punishment for sin, which had to be there because He is a holy God. Come on, how many of you know God is big time holy? He is like holy, holy, holy. That's what the angels, read the book of Isaiah, that's all they say day and night, 24/7. They cry out, holy. And then God gives them another revelation of His holiness, and they say, holy. And then He gives them another revelation of His holiness, and they say, holy. And God just keeps giving it to them because God's infinite and God's eternal. And just when they thought that God was so holy, they couldn't take it anymore, he gives them another revelation of his holiness. And they say, holy! Those angels have a heavy-duty job. And because they're so overwhelmed with God's holiness, they don't ever leave the throne room. They can't make it out of there. They can't escape. They're just overwhelmed by the goodness of God. That's how heaven's going to be. I want to let you know, heaven is going to be an awesome place. You know why? Because we're going to all continually receive infinite revelation from God. Just when you thought God couldn't get any more incredible, guess what? He gives you another revelation of himself. And you're like, yes! And then just when you thought you couldn't get any more happier, he gives you another revelation of his love. And you're like, yes! And just when you thought you couldn't have any more peace or joy, and you can't even move, and you're so fired up, he's just going to give you more. And then you're going to realize that you're going to be like this for the next 100,000, million, billion years, and then it's only going to be just like one day. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up for eternity. Huh? So what are we talking about today? We're talking about grace. So we were talking about, where was I? How Jesus, okay, he fulfilled the law. And now it's important that we look in the old, when we're reading the Old Testament, it's important that we have what I call a New Testament filter, that we're reading the Old Testament through a New Testament filter of Jesus Christ, understanding that the Old Testament had a purpose, and the Old Covenant had a purpose. The Bible's very clear that the Old Covenant could not make anyone righteous. The Old Covenant, it couldn't make people right with God. The Old Covenant was given, first of all, as it says in, I believe, Galatians, to keep us under guard. In other words, it was to kind of keep mankind in check. And this is why God had to like punish sin like on the spot a lot, and a lot of judgment and wrath kind of stuff. The law, the Old Covenant, it was like a spanking. It's like God just giving mankind, it was like to keep us under God, under guard, so the days of Noah would not replicate themselves over and over again, and mankind keep destroying himself and keep destroying himself and keep destroying himself. Okay, let's start over. Okay, let's start over. Okay, let's start over. Just like in our country, you know, we have laws. Could you imagine if we had no laws in our country? What would happen? Chaos. We would destroy ourselves. And so God had a moral law, he had national laws, and he gave the law to keep mankind in check so that Jesus could eventually be born. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, when Jesus came on the scene, really for the first time, because the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily, really for the first time, mankind began to say, okay, this is what God is really like. Now, they had bits and pieces from the law. But remember, the law also, it was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. In other words, it was supposed to show us, man, we need to be saved. We need a Savior. The law as well, it was to show us, as God would punish sin, and you look back, you know, and fire coming down from heaven, and prophets calling bears out of woods, and, you know, everybody dying, and all these different types of judgment, it was to show us why we need someone to take the full punishment, the wrath of God for our sins, or we are going to be in trouble. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So it was to give us all these clues. And then when Jesus came on the scene, he fulfilled the law. And the Bible's very clear in Hebrews that now that covenant, it's no longer valid, that it is abolished. Jesus fulfilled it, and then he destroyed it, and now we are under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, many New Testament believers, they have what I call a law-based relationship with God. They have a legalistic relationship with God, or a ruleistic relationship with God. And that basically says that, you know, God is, if I do good, if I perform well today, God's going to be pleased with me, God's going to like me, and God's going to bless me. And if I don't perform well today, God's not going to like me, God's not going to bless me, and God's not going to be pleased with me. I want to let you know that God is fully pleased with you, that God loves you no matter what. And I know I'm going to talk about that. Yes, there's laws of sowing and reaping. Yes, obedience to God is important. Yes, Pastor Trevor, are you against sin? Absolutely. I'm 100% against sin. But I will say this. The only way that you can have true, sustainable victory over sin, bad habits, live a morally responsible life with joy is to be under a grace relationship with God and not under a law relationship with God. And holiness, watch, holiness is not harshness. There's all these misconceptions. I mean, when I first got saved, you know, it was like I met these people and they were supposed to be holy. Man, they were just mean. They were mean, man. It was all about the do's and don'ts. And it was all about, man, you better perform. You better pray or God's going to pass you over. And if you don't fast enough, God's not going to use you as much. And I can remember when I became a Christian, watch this. See, here's what happens. When we become Christians, most of us, and if you kind of like been a Christian for a long time, say for a long time, you can really relate to this. If you're a new Christian, I hope you never come into this. And if you're not a Christian, come on, you're going to be one by the end of this service. And okay, so cool. I got all the everybody covered. All right, so, but I can remember, many of y'all know my testimony that I was drinking and drugging, and I worked at a bar, and I was just in that whole lifestyle. And so when I became a Christian, when Jesus came into my life, and I received Jesus, let me tell you something. I was fully walking in the grace relationship with God. You know why? Because I know when Jesus saved me, I know there was absolutely nothing that I did to earn it. In fact, it was just the opposite. I mean, I was doing so much wrong and my lifestyle was so far from God that when I received Jesus, man, it was the goodness of God. God forgave me all of my sins. Man, I was just fired up and I was full of life and I was full of innocence and I was walking in faith. And did you know that God wants us to stay like that for all of our Christian life? And I was full of faith and I would sin. I mean, I would go out and do some things in ignorance or I would make mistakes, but it was like, man, I had done so much bad the previous 20 years of my life. Like I knew, man, if God kind of forgave, it was like, well, all I'm saying is this, it didn't have the condemnatory power because I knew that God saved me not because how I performed, but because of his goodness in my life. And did you know that the Bible says this, that just as Colossians, I believe it's 2:6-7, Colossians 2:7, just as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk therein. And so just like we receive Jesus and he comes in your life, you know, you didn't do anything to earn your way into God's favor. Guess what? You should walk in that same attitude, not performance-based, but because of the goodness of God, you should walk in that same attitude all the days of your life and your walk with God. And that's where real power comes from. So I had this for a while, but I can remember, man, we were just, man, it was just awesome, man. We do all kind of crazy things. I don't know if I tell you this story, but y'all know the bar I used to work in, I was a bouncer. Man, I was almost up to bartender before I got saved. One of those life goals I'm just never going to see come to pass. Anybody else? Anybody in the bar and club scene? Last night? No, just put your hand. So watch. So I became a Christian, and then I had all these wild and crazy friends, and I didn't know the appropriate way to witness. No one ever told me the four spiritual laws, and can I just be honest? Thank God. Because I'd have probably messed something up. I didn't know all that. So I wasn't even in a church yet. So I would just go up to my drug friends or my bouncer friends and be like, man, you need to get saved. And I'd pull out my Bible and I would just like show them verses. And I'd be like, man, I'm telling you, I'm saved. I feel like my sins are forgiven. I'm telling you, this is real, man. Jesus is real. You gotta do this Jesus thing. So some of them were like, all right, what I do? It's like, I don't know. Let's ask Jesus into your heart. I didn't have all the formulas. You know what I'm saying? And so this whole group of us, these big rowdy guys, I was a lot bigger back then. I know what you're thinking. What do you mean big rowdy? You look like a What anyway, but so what we would do is we just stayed in the whole bar club scene for a while, and what we would do is we would go in there and we'd go in there with our Bibles. We did. We go in, but you know the music is so loud, you can't really talk in there. That's why you know you've heard my story how the bar is a counterfeit church, right? You go in, there's ushers or bouncers at the door, and you go in and there's music going on. That's kind of like the fake worship, you know, and everybody's being nice and fellowshipping, and they have a smile on their face, not because they're glad to see you, but because you know what, whatever they're on, you know what I'm saying? Come on, you know when you're on stuff, just everyone's your best friend. You're my best friend, man. Yeah. Come on, let's dance. You know, you just, everybody just... You're my best friend, man. Love you, man. Am I telling the truth or not? All right. I'm just making sure I'm in the right church. But anyway, I'm going to get to this message on grace in a minute. But anyway, we would, and then the bartender, he's like the pastor. So you go to the altar, that's the bar. You tell the pastor, the bartender, you tell him all your problems, and then he gives you something that will make you feel better. So, but come on, that's the counterfeit. Come on, how many of you know we got the real deal, huh? We got the real stuff. So we would go in because we ruled the clubs, man. Me and my friends. So we would go into these clubs at LSU, and we had all the, we didn't know any better. So we kind of, what would reach guys like us was all the wrath and hell scriptures. So we went through with our highlighters and like all the scriptures on wrath and hell. Ironically, we were in the grace of God, but we just thought, okay, this is what could get our attention. So, and so we would just go into a group of people, and they'd all be, you know, the music blaring, you couldn't really talk because it was so loud, and so we'd have little flashlights. So I'd go into a group of people and kind of bully my way in there and be like, and they'd all stand around. I mean, they knew me. I used to work at the bar, so they kind of look and be like, they kind of be like, so I flip them another page and, you know, show them out. And so we would. And we were just in innocence, and we were walking with God. And I never forget when somebody found out that we went in those bars, and man, they came in, and it was one of these mean people, these Christian meanies, like, you're going into a bar, I can't believe you, and you know, rant, and you're not real with God, and da da da. And I can remember it just crushed. It crushed me. It crushed us. Do you see? Because I thought I was, man, I got saved. I don't know with God's goodness. And you mean God could be, he's just pleased with me. And we, you know, we're just doing our best to try to reach people. And I can remember those kind of things happening to me as like kind of some seeds. And lo and behold, and eventually, you know, God, we had that season and we didn't do that anymore. But can I tell you this? That person saying that to me did not help whatsoever. And then as I matured in Christ, as I kept going to Christ, it was like things like that. Before long, I was full of life and innocence and all this stuff, but somehow this performance, this legalistic, this thing of, okay, I've got to perform today to please God. And if I don't perform right today, he's not going to be pleased. And I can remember I was praying. I mean, some of you talk about legalism. I'll go toe-to-toe with any legalist. I'm telling you, I could say like Paul, you want to talk legalism? I'll talk legalism. I prayed at 5 in the morning, 5 days a week for 3 years. And you know what I did? It got so bad one time, if you were one of my friends and I was in the, and you tried to talk to me, and if I wasn't done with my 2 hours of praying, I'd show you my watch. Oh yeah, I was a psycho. A psycho. You know why? Because I so wanted to please God, and people begin to say things to me like, man, if you don't pray this many hours a day, God's not going to be able to use you enough. If you don't read this many chapters of your Bible, that God's not going to be able to use you enough. And this was still, also I was in college and I was still single, and enough said, the inner struggles of a young college man who is single. You know what I'm saying? And so all of that stuff going on and constantly being condemned and constantly being condemned. And it's because I fell into this performance-based Christianity where God's pleased with me one day, He's mad at me the next. And no matter what I did, let me tell you what that produces in you. It'll produce two things. First of all, if you perform well, guess what it'll produce? Pride. Why? Because God's blessing you. I mean, He's good. Yes, God's good, but He's really blessing you because you're performing well. And then the other side of that, if you don't perform well, guess what the fruit of that is? Condemnation. It's a lose-lose. And so finally, God just really through deliverance brought me out of that legalistic. And I can say in that stage of my life, I was so sin conscious and so trying to do the right thing. It was probably the most ineffective in my entire ministry, where I reached the fewest people that I've ever reached. And I probably demonstrated less Christ-likeness than I ever demonstrated. And it was out of a sincere desire to try to please God and try to perform. How many of you know, listen, if the Lord counted iniquities, none of us could stand. If we are trying to come to God based on our performance, guess what? It's never good enough. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's why we have to focus more on God's love for us. If you want to love God more, guess what? Stop trying to, I got to love God more. Okay? You need to stop focusing on your love for God and start focusing on how much God loves you. That's where grace comes from. That's why when Jesus summed up the law and the prophets, He said, hey, I can sum this all up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Now, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's be honest. Check your pulse. Ding, 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 ding. Are you a human? Okay, let's be honest here. Watch. How many of us, 24/7, are loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind, 100%, and our neighbor as ourselves? That's what I thought. None of us do that. Even in our best days, even in our best days of performance, I promise you, there's going to be a few minutes come in there where you are not 100% loving God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Do you see? And God's not going to look down and say, that's it. Okay, there was 10 minutes out of that hour, so you are getting an 82% blessing, buddy. Really, none of us can do that. None of us can love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength. But guess what? God, 24/7, is loving you 100% with all of His heart, with all of His soul, with all of His strength. And it's that revelation of God's love for us. That's the grace of God. That's the goodness of God. And whatever love we give back to God, if it's true, if it's lasting, and if it's sustainable, it's only going to come by us getting that revelation of God's love for us, His goodness for us, that He doesn't reward us according to what we deserve. He rewards us according to what Jesus has already done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Can I have an amen to that? This is why, you see, if you study the epistles, especially ones the Apostle Paul wrote, he's constantly talking about, he's not saying, I pray that you love God more. You know what he's praying? He's praying that they'll begin, prayers like this. My prayer is that you begin to comprehend or understand what is the breadth, the width, the height, and the depth of the love of God for you. The more we understand how much God loves us, the more we're going to reciprocate that back to Him. That's the grace of God. Guess what? God's not angry with you. God is pleased with you. Stovall, how can you say that? You know, Here, people, I'll say that. You know, when God sees you, he sees Jesus. And some of you are like, I know what I did last night. And I can promise you, when God saw me, he didn't see Jesus. You know what I'm saying? This is why, watch. Every sin that every one of you committed, past, present, and future. See, when we look at time, we look at, you know, kind of the linear. God has the birth. He sees the whole thing. He's outside of time. He's in eternity. Whew. That'll blow your mind. But anyway, watch this. When Jesus went to the cross, there's all, that's why the Bible says in Hebrews, he was the perfect sacrifice for sin once and for all time. It's talking about the entire history and all future of mankind. Every human being, you want to get heavy? You want to blow your mind? Every human being that's ever lived on planet Earth, every single sin, past, present, and future, was put on the body of Jesus Christ. And the holiness of God that demanded that sin be punished. Guess what? The full measure and the full punishment and the full wrath of God was poured out on his own son, Jesus Christ. All of God's anger, all of his wrath, all of his displeasure, all of his punishment for sin was poured out on his own son who knew no sin. It was completely satisfied. And whenever we think we've come, if we've believed in Jesus Christ, whenever we think that God is angry with us, you know what you're saying? You're saying, Jesus, your sacrifice was not enough. That's what you're saying. You're saying, God, the penalty that Jesus paid, it was a lot, but it wasn't all the way. I'm telling you, Jesus paid the full price. He paid it all the way. All of God's anger, all of God's wrath, all of God's punishment, every single sin was put on his own son. That's good news. Lo and behold, which is the definition of the word what? Gospel. That's the good news. Let me give you a definition of kind of law or performance-based. Performance-based or law, it's deserved favor. Here's what that means. When you obey the commandments perfectly, you'll be blessed. We can't do that. None of us can do that. But look at grace. Grace is undeserved favor. Jesus obeyed God perfectly, and you will be blessed by believing in him. That's the gospel. Christ did it all. He paid for it all. This is how God can say, what is the legal requirement of the moral law of God? How can God say there's going to be a new covenant, and in this new covenant, I will remember your sins no more? How can God legally say that? I will remember your sins no more, when we know that God is a just God and has to punish sin because of his holiness. How can he look, therefore, at a sinner, you and I, and say, your sins I will remember no more? How? Because all of your sins were remembered when God put them on Jesus. And he, when Jesus died, guess what? Your sins died with him. He paid the full penalty. And when he rose again in newness of life, God legally can say, all of your sins, I remembered them when I put them on my son. And my son died for those sins. I poured out my judgment, my wrath. Anytime I was ever going to be displeased with you because of your sins or mistakes, I punished my own son for you. Man, that's the gospel. So now when we come to Jesus, we come to a new and living way. We're justified before God. It's as though we never sinned. And we can honestly stand before God. And when God looks at us, he sees Jesus and he says, your sins, I remember no more, because they were remembered once and for all at the cross of Calvary. That's grace, man. That'll change your life. That will cause you to live more holy on accident than you could ever on purpose being a mean old legalist. Look what it says. Man, I had this great message today. Okay, let me, we got, Okay, let me just close with this. Okay, let me close. I never got to my message. When you experience grace, you experience truth. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law is distant, grace is personal. Truth is on the side of grace, very, very important. You experience transformation. Talks about that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Yes, by the fear of the Lord, you can depart from evil. But guess what? True, sustainable change on the inside, repentance, change of heart and mind. Guess what? That only comes from the goodness of God, receiving the goodness of God. That's what really changes us. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. The only way that we can really have victory over sins, bad habits, addictions, things like that, guess what, is to walk in the grace of God. If you get legalistic, if you try to get under this performance, I'm just going to grit, I'm just going to do it, guess what? You're under the law. And the law, therefore, has power and accusation over you. When you're under grace, receiving God's love and goodness, that's the only way that you can really be free. That's why Jesus said, when you know me, you'll know the truth. Truth is on the side of grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When you know me, you'll know the truth, grace. And the truth will set you free. The good news that God is pleased with you, no matter what, because you've put your faith in Jesus, and all of God's anger, displeasure, and punishment for sin was poured out on his own son who knew no sin. And the last thing, triumph. You experience truth, transformation, and triumph. Talked about it last week. He wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having disarmed the principalities and powers. When Jesus died on the cross with all of our sins there, guess what? It disarmed the enemy. Why? Because what does the enemy bring? He brings what? Condemnation. He brings accusation. Once Jesus paid for all of our, he didn't have any more weapons. He didn't have a legal right to condemn or to accuse, which is why it talks about Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now what? No condemnation for those of who are in Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh. Study what that walk after the flesh means. You know what it means? It means walking under the law. It's talk about the unregenerate portion of man that if we try to obey and perform, it'll never work out. The law of the spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And the last thing here, what shall we say to these things? This is why God says this. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely, everybody say freely, freely give us all things? That's what it's talking about. He goes on to say, look, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? He's saying, in other words, what's going on that's hindering you? You can't be condemned. Who's going to bring an accusation against you? If God's for you, who can be against you? Don't you realize that everything that could possibly be against you, God's anger, displeasure, punishment for sin, all that kind of stuff, don't you realize that God put that on his own son? He gave up his own son for you? Don't you realize that if God did that for you, how much freely is he going to bless you? How much freely is he going to give you all things? Don't you understand? It's free, man. It's not something that you earn. He goes on to say, who is he who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? If God's for you, if this really happened and we really believe this, guess what? Who can be against you? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Now you're a child of God, justified before him, walking in God's pleasure. Yes, I didn't get into that. That's a whole thing. Yes, there are laws of sowing and reaping. Yes, the more holier you live, the more happy you're going to be personally. But guess what? God will never love you anymore. He loves you as much as he possibly can right now, regardless or apart from your performance.